I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom. What is up, Wisconsin? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so excited to be back in the saddle this week with each and every one of you, but especially excited to have my wonderful guest co-host with me today. After some time away, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Tom, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. It's great to be back. There's just a bit going on these days, so...
Yeah, we've got some things to talk about. Since I spent all day yesterday with our wonderful callers, talking about the election outcome, it would only be fair for me to ask you, sir, how are you feeling after the big W's we chalked up on Tuesday?
I can't be more proud of what happened with our election when it comes to the state Supreme Court. I mean, just being able to get past whatever happened with Elon Musk, but more importantly, to have everyone step up and understand the importance of this race. And I got to tell you that the existential dread I was feeling Tuesday morning has been lifted. So that to me is the biggest thing, is that's it's finally a little bit alleviated. But then we got yesterday, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. So,
yes, we will get to yesterday in due time this afternoon. Folks, we've got an incredible lineup. Not only have you got Tom Paulswitz along with me and you this afternoon, at 2:30, we're going to be joined by Dr. Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. She is an expert on Ukraine and Russia. We've been talking about so many other things that, oh yes, Ukraine, that's still a thing. Where is the peace process, at least a purported peace process, by Donald Trump? We'll talk with Dr. Fix about that at 2:30. And at 3:30, I'm really excited, we are going to be joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy. That is going to be an incredibly important conversation. That is Dr. Benja Agilore, again, the chief economist from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We're going to talk about the impact of Donald Trump's tariffs on the agricultural industry, specifically farming. Yeah, kind of a thing here in Wisconsin. So we're going to get to all of that. We're going to take your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Tom, again, returning to the election on Tuesday, what really stood out to you the most? Was there any element of not just the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, but turning also to the superintendent of public instruction election, as well as the two special elections in Florida for those House seats that were vacated, but respectively by Matt Gaetz and Mike Walz, who we'll also talk about today.
Yes, of course. The thing that struck me most is looking at the Wow counties and how much they continue to move to the left on a regular basis. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at the exact Waukesha County, because I live in Waukesha County, and I haven't had a chance to go back and look at the actual vote counts, but I'm pretty sure that Crawford got more than 40% of the vote in Waukesha County, which is astounding when you think about where we've come from as a county. And the other thing that struck me was just the sheer movement from the right to the left across the entire state. And if you want to throw in the two Florida districts also, taking a 30-point gap and turning it into a 15-point gap, that's pretty remarkable. So I love to think that these are predictors of the future. I know there's a lot of work to do between now and next fall, but it does mean that I think enough independents have realized that what is happening is troublesome, and they're willing to put their vote where they see it competing best for their interests. You know, I'm excited about Wisconsin because, you know, keeping that liberal swing on the courts allows us to potentially get rid of gerrymandering even more. I think the 2026 election in the state of Wisconsin is vitally important to have a much more purple state. But also, you know, tackling things like abortion and budgeting and a whole bunch of other things that are happening across the state, I think will end up showing up in that state Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be what happens on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, the cases, the outcomes will be certainly something to watch, as well as the midterms. I mean, yes, it just seems like we're constantly cycling from one election into the next. This was a big one, no doubt. I wanted to also ask you, because Tuesday was a big day for another reason, I was especially moved by Cory Booker's 25-hour, 4-minute, and 45-second address on the floor of the Senate. Wanted to get your reactions, Tom, to that, I'm going to call it activism from the senator, yes, which seems almost like an oxymoron. Of course, a senator should be involved in political activism,
but exactly,
those are rarities when that sort of speech making occurs on the Senate floor. Your reactions to Senator Booker, do you think it makes a difference? Do you think it's important to people, or was it more on the performative end of things for you?
I think two things. I think one is he took action where he thought it was necessary, and I couldn't agree more. Getting rid of Strom Thurmond's record, I think, is good for our country to know that this black man stood up and said, wait a minute, this other person who had done this for the longest period of time was speaking out for segregation. And here is Cory Booker, who I've had a chance to meet. My wife and I had a chance to meet him about 3 or 4 years ago on the campaign trail. Very gracious person, excellent at selfies. So he's a selfie expert.
He's good at that.
He's really good at it. But just, having him stand up and not only just talk for that long for 25 hours, but talk about substantive ideas and things is remarkable. And it just wasn't a whim. It wasn't anything else. It was well thought out. I couldn't be, that coupled with the election, I think, at least for me, was able to help lift that existential dread and say, okay, it's time for everyone else to take action. I'm looking forward to go and marching this weekend on Saturday to just show some support and have a voice in saying enough is enough. And I'm hoping a whole bunch of other people have found a place to go on Saturday the 5th to march and say, this is it. Like, this is our country. And if we don't stand up for it like Cory Booker did, we might not have it.
Yeah, folks, you can join Tom and I at the Federal Building in downtown Milwaukee. That hands-off protest against Elon Musk, against the gutting of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that kicks off at noon. Again, the Federal Building in downtown Milwaukee. If you want to find out where more of those hands-off protests may be going on in your neck of the woods across the state of Wisconsin, just Google hands-off protest April 5th. There's lots of information. I've posted the link to those protests and the locations thereof on the show's X account, which is Maggie Dawn Show. Also on my LinkedIn, that's where I use my full name, Margaret Dawn. You can find that information there as well.
And Blue Sky. Let's not forget Blue Sky.
And Blue Sky. I'm trying to use more in the Blue Sky. Yep. I already forgot my username and login. I had to go look all that up again. Got to get better at the Blue Sky. We had an interesting comment, Matt, from Middleton. I'd say challenging a bit of your characterization. Matt from Middleton on the text line says this. The WOW counties aren't moving to the left. We moved towards truth and rational thought. People aren't becoming lefties. Your reaction, Tom?
I think he's right. I think it's a repudiation of what's happening in the MAGA world more than anything else. It just so happens that it's moving towards the party that's trying not to move to the right. And I know there's a lot of Democrats out there who think that Democratic messaging should be moving to the right. I completely disagree. I think it's still about, sticking up for everyone, making sure we have the backs of every person in this country, and looking for equality and equity across everything. And, if that's a leftist attitude, then I guess I'll be branded by it. But I think it's more center, I think, than people realize.
Yes,
so,
center in post MAGA cult land, right? Yes. Like centrism starts to look left. Mm-hmm. It's not, right? Like rationality and reasonableness takes on a patina or can be claimed by some to be left. It's not. It was funny. We had a texter the other day, Tom, that texted in and was calling me a radical left-wing lunatic. And I was just like, I'm not super left. I'm just not. I'm a pragmatist. I don't like bullies. I don't like liars. I don't like chaos. I don't like incompetence. And if that to some listeners' ears might make me sound like a big lefty, yeah, I think we need to interrogate that, right? Like, are we calling people hyper-partisans because they're lodging disagreement with a hyper-partisan, if you get my drift, right?
Like, there's not two opinions about whether corruption is good or not, right? There's not two opinions about whether we should have incompetence at the highest levels of our government. I don't think there's a difference of opinion there. I think what we have a difference on is policy, but we no longer talk about policy because that's not really what it's about anymore. It's about people and it's about their agendas and what they're trying to do. So when I spout anything that has to do with policy that's more fact-based, people like to try to put it into a bucket, and it doesn't deserve a bucket because it's the truth.
Correct. And it's funny, Tom, great minds, my friend, I'll just say that. And part of that discussion, right, what I was talking about is that we need, and I don't like the way the media, at least in the United States, has gotten to this place, I think, adopting the framework of the far right when it comes to opinions, right, that you must offer up both opinions as if they are both equally valid. Well, that's not true. As you put it so eloquently, Tom, there aren't two opinions that are valid about whether or not corruption or money in politics is good. There's one opinion, and that is that it is bad. Folks, you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Tom Paulsiewicz with us this afternoon. You can join us 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Tom, you still there, or are we having a little bit of a technical glitch? Want to make sure I can still hear you.
I think I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Great. I certainly can. As long as I can hear you, I don't know if people can still see me. If you're watching us here on YouTube, that is quite all right. I wanted to get to another bit of news on the other side. We're going to have to take care of a little break here in a second. But here's the news that I want to discuss with you. Breaking news just in the hour or so before we were about to come on the air that apparently Laura Loomer, a 9/11 conspiracy wingnut, was meeting with Donald Trump in the Oval Office and gave him a list of people to axe from the National Security Council, which apparently Donald Trump has done. What does this mean for our military security, our nation's security, and your family? We discuss more with you and Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll take more calls and your thoughts on the text and phone line.